everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Brief Talk podcast. We have a brief tale for you today from Shane. Welcome, Shane.
Hey there.
Welcome to the podcast. How are you this lovely day?
No, I'm good.
Good. Yeah. Glad to hear it. Thank you for coming on. It'll be fun to talk to you today. So first off, tell our listeners a little bit about you.
I'm in my mid-30s. I'm a gay male. I have a husband. We live in Pennsylvania. I work in design, in marketing, and advertising. And I don't have any sort of online underwear profile. I've just been a fan of the podcast, so I reached out to be a part of it.
Nice. Now you don't have to be a part of the community and put things out there to be an underwear lover, so that's good. I'm glad you reached out. We need more guys like you to come on to just, you know, spread the love and share your story. So when did you first become interested and discover underwear?
My interest in underwear started when I was in the third grade. I went to a sleepover at my friend's house, and while we were changing for bed, my friend asked me, why did I still wear briefs? And I was taken aback by his question because I didn't understand really his intention. And then he explained to me that he switched to boxers because boxers were considered cool underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of blew my mind in a way where underwear was not something that I ever thought about. It was something that my mom picked out and purchased, and it's not that I didn't have a say in it. I just never thought that I wanted a say or what the options were. And so having this conversation with my friend, I learned that people have thoughts and opinions on underwear and preferences, and that some underwear was cooler than others, and I didn't own the cool kind. And so I went from never thinking about it to always just being hyper aware of just underwear. So if there was a scene in a TV show or movie, I felt it just resonated with me or stuck with me longer. Or if I saw somebody's waistband, if their shirt went up, and then I could almost determine what type of underwear they were wearing, and it just kind of stuck with me a lot more. So that's when my interest peaked, when I was about 9 or 10.
That's a very interesting way to get started. Someone telling you didn't have the cool underwear on.
It just you never it was the first time I considered underwear.
Hey, but that we've heard many different ways here.
Remember after that, I remember asking my mom to buy me boxers. So I remember the very first pairs that she purchased for me. It was a 2-pack at Kohl's, and they had one was black with basketballs, and then the other was green with footballs. And so I just always specifically remember the underwear. So, but yeah.
Not very cool. Now, so when did you go from, wearing boxers to wearing, the quote unquote, air quotes, good underwear? When did you first discover, the Calvin Kleins, the Two Exists of the world? When did you go from there to there?
So I think around 17, because that's when I had a car and a job and could actually go out and purchase underwear myself. And then I remember not having a credit card until I was in my early 20s. So everything had to have been purchased in person. And so I know on your podcast, you've always talked about the when Marshalls and TJ Maxx had really nice underwear. And
that's
when I feel I first started purchasing. So it was a lot of sometimes from Ross or Burlington Coat Factory. Mm-hmm. They just had a larger variety. So I would go to those stores and pick through everything. And that's when I started exploring a lot more, because there at the time seemed there was a lot more.
there were a lot more. And I think I've seen more and more people post recently that they're getting anything other than boxer briefs and boxers in. So I've seen more posts about that recently. So maybe they're going in the right direction. Fingers crossed that we'll have that again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Who knows? Who knows? It could be a fluke with them. You never know.
It depends on their buyers and what's available. And a lot of times it's hit or miss. So there. You just have to
dig.
Yeah,
I'm familiar with that. I used to do that back in the day. Dig through everything. Spend an hour in the underwear section. Yeah. So do you remember the first pair of underwear you got that you were really like, oh my God, these are amazing. I must have more of these.
There's a few pairs that I'm thinking of. So I remember there was a pair of DKNY. It was an orange sport brief.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember the vibrancy of the orange was something that I just didn't see before. And then the cut was also just a bit smaller than a typical mid-rise brief. So it just kind of intrigued me. The one pair that I think that I still have from back then is a tanga style white to exist sport brief.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before that they, I think, not rebranded, but they changed up their logo. So this was the one before with the taller T. And I think the font was in a modern serif Bodoni font. So it was kind of when they the black and white packaging. So I remember that. And I think that's one that I still have. The one that I remember wanting to get, and it took me a while to find it in my size, was the drawstring brief from Rips.
Oh my God, I just talked about that exact brief because I got interviewed by Jay, if you've heard Jay's episode, and that was one that I mentioned. Yeah.
I remember just being fascinated by it because for your listeners that aren't familiar, it was a brief that had a cord as the the waistband. So it didn't have an elastic waistband. And so you kind of had to tie it.
Yes.
And I remember being fascinated just because it hung differently. It kind of just draped on the hip a bit more. And I loved it, but then also was so frustrated by it.
Yes.
Because I don't know, sometimes you'd accidentally double knot it and then you need to use the bathroom and you're just oh, this is not the best. Or if you're at a urinal and you're trying to hold your belt and then tie your underwear and you're this isn't practical.
No.
But it was definitely something that I was oh, I haven't seen anything like this before. And so it was something that really drew my attention and I felt I had to have it.
Yes, I too went through that and had to find it. And I told Jay, he asked what was the one pair that really let me down. And I'm this pair, because the fit, the waist, I was it's just, I said it looked so cool and I had to have it. And then it was okay. Come on now. This is not everyday wear.
It's not, but it also wasn't a cut that felt it was fancy enough for anything else than day wear. So
yes, it's more of a pair to be seen in than to wear, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Fully agree with that. Oh, that is just, and I'm trying to find a picture of that to share with everyone because some people don't know what it is, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you've got to see this pair. It does look good, but yeah, no. I have it around here somewhere, and I just don't know where. I'm going to have to dig that up. So
you could see, no one else has made something like that, I think probably because of its impracticality.
It was very impractical, and it just, because Rips, they were in Marshalls for forever. They had so many pairs. Like I said, I don't know how many they made before they sold it to Marshalls, but that was the one you could never get, though. It was always in the odd sizes when it came in. It was small or extra, extra large or whatever. And so when you finally got your size, you're get it. And then we were all kind of like, oh, okay, now I get it. Okay. Hmm.
The one thing about Rips as well, and I remember back then, they only had like a wide back thong.
Yes.
And then also like two exist and then C and two always only had wide back thongs.
Mm-hmm.
It was always frustrating because it wasn't like the type that I liked, but like I didn't understand like the purpose of why back thongs. Like, was it supposed to be like look more like a jock, or what was like the reasoning behind it?
That's a good question. I, on the top of my head, do not know, because I think it was a design choice more than anything, because I enjoyed them, but I know if you didn't have the right body with those, they annoyed people, and I understand that. So it's kind of crazy that, you know, they took off back in the day, like the early 2000s, and that was like thongs everyone was making very similar. And then now, you know, thongs come in everything. You like a thong, you can find it. But it was just the time, I guess, everyone thought, oh, this is on trend, so we got to make a Y-back thong. We got to do this. But I don't know if anybody would have, well, confused it with a jock, but you never know. That could have been why they made it. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's very interesting, that thong, yes. So how did these first pairs you got influence your journey going forward into what you liked, what you, you know, experimented with as your journey went? Are there any pairs that stand out that, you know, really influenced your journey or had favorites when you were experimenting with underwear?
I mean, I feel like I just kind of spent time and just explored really everything. So I definitely spent almost like 2 or 3 years almost wearing thongs exclusively.
Okay.
But I also feel like I still go back, and I'm like a big fan of like Hanes briefs, because those were what was in stores kind of when I was growing up. So mm-hmm. I feel like those like resonate with me a lot, especially like because in the 90s and early 2000s, they had a lot more patterns and different cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So they always had a string bikini that I yes. was like really into. And that was like one that I saw that I was like, oh, this is like when I start purchasing my own underwear, this is like what I want to wear. So I still kind of like, if I see those on like an eBay or an online store, I feel like I have to kind of like purchase those. And I have like a couple boxes just kind of like in storage because I felt like I needed those.
Mm-hmm.
And those were always interesting because I felt like they also, the name of them always changed too. Because I think they were like a string bikini and then they changed them to like a string brief for like marketing purposes, and I just didn't know if like the word bikini turned people off or it was just like string brief was maybe more mass marketable. But those were definitely ones that like I wish that they would come back, because they haven't done that in
mm-hmm.
like since like the early 2000s.
That's the interesting thing, because when you look back, Hanes out of Fruit of the Loom was the more adventurous brand, because mm-hmm. they did the bikinis. They do more interesting things outside of just basic white briefs. And I think they went through a phase, and now I hear a lot of people who have fond memories of the Hanes bikini briefs and the string bikinis to come back and bring them back, but we haven't seen that yet. And I'm wondering, if are we going to get those back from them?
They did bring a string bikini to market, but it was the same design and cut as the Jockey Life string bikini.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't have the waistband, and it's almost like a quarter inch kind of like side that's just fabric. And there's no like branding or anything on that. But I do see that like online that I do feel like people have responded to and resonated with. And I do feel like they're starting to bring back patterns and colors, mm-hmm. especially with their newer line, the Originals line, that they actually have, I think they call it like a modern cut, but so it's like higher waisted, but it has more structure than their previous bikinis. And their brief, I think, comes in like 4 different patterns. So they have like a camo, they have one that is a blue leopard print, which I found interesting because it felt not like something that Hanes has done, because typically they'll do like a blue with a stripe, and mm-hmm. then they have another one that's like almost looks like an oil slick that's in gray. So I think that they're changing things up, so we'll see if they adapt. I mean, even like certain brands like Jockey now has like 3 or 4 different types of thongs, which I find interesting. Mm-hmm. They've always had their like seamless thong, but now they brought back a 3-pack cotton thong, and then they have another one that has like a larger waistband that actually like says Jockey on it, and that comes in like 3 different colors. So I mean, hoping, fingers crossed, Hanes does something like that eventually.
We'll see. Well, I think we're going through an interesting time where guys are moving away from boxers finally, and sort of away from boxer briefs and more going into briefs and bikinis and thongs. So I think we're going to see changes over the next few years, but it's be interesting to see what the main big underwear makers do, because Jockey has always had really fun and interesting stuff in Europe, but they've never really brought it to the States. Mm-hmm. So if you go on their website, especially for England or wherever, you'll see all this great stuff. And you're like, why don't we have that here?
Because Hanes does that in, they have like smaller cuts, because I have a few that I bought on eBay from, I think, India that mm-hmm. were like a low rise. And I think you were talking before in one of your previous podcasts about how like certain ones are like lower on like the backside, and I feel mm-hmm. like this has like a certain cut like that, and I have like 2 different versions that are similar to that. And then they also had like other patterns, I think, from Japan. I think I bought like a trunk that almost like an Americana sort of like nice. Stars and stripes pattern, which back then they like just didn't have anything like that. So I was surprised that their like Asian markets kind of had just more adventurous underwear.
Yeah, it's amazing to see what they do outside of the States, a lot of companies that are international, and how what chances they take over there versus here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very interesting. So how did you get buying, you know, the retro underwear online, eBay, when you buy it? You say you have 4 boxes of this. I'm curious to know what about it makes you buy more of it and keep it? Because we've had many discussions about this on the blog and off the blog about buying underwear that is quote unquote vintage. And I'm just wondering what your experience has been buying it.
So I think part of it actually started with like newer underwear. So when Hanes had their X-Temp collection, they had a low-rise brief that was cut higher, that was similar to the bikini briefs that they had in the 90s. And so I wanted to like buy a couple boxes of that just so I would have them, because if they never made it again for mm-hmm. another 15 years, I would at least have them for my collection. And so I think I bought like 2 pairs from like Amazon, and then another 2 boxes from like Walmart, because I think they also had different patterns depending on where you bought them from. Mm-hmm. And then I just like had them because now I have an extra 4 boxes. So I just put them in my closet. But then I was looking online And then there was like a lot sale that I think I bought like 5 boxes of like a low rise brief from like the early 2000s. And obviously I don't need 30 pairs of underwear added to my drawer. So I just kind of like added those again, just like the box in the upper part of my closet. And then I just like now just check eBay like once or twice a day to see what they have. And I kind of started where now I have almost like at least one box of every pair that they've made. And it just kind of turned into a bit of a collection and hobby of mine. So now I can kind of look at it all of the briefs that they've made over the last like 30 years.
Wow. I am impressed. I will tell you. Wow. That's cool though, because I have so many pairs that I've worn over the years that I wish I still had or bought more of, because of course brands come, go, change styles. And so having all those seems like heaven to me, because you know, you have access to all these great underwear you had that you loved, and now you find it on eBay. So that's pretty cool.
I feel like typically now if they release something, I'll buy 2 boxes of it. So I'll have one package that I'll open that I can wear, and then the other pair kind of goes into the collection.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
I'm impressed.
And you but I also just have so much that it's kind of like I don't need to be wearing all of them, but I still like having them.
Mm-hmm. One thing we're going to tackle this year is storage and underwear, because that seems to be most people's problem is, you know, you have all this underwear and how do you store it? Where do you store it? And like you're collecting along with wearing. So you're like, you have all these extra pairs that you need to store. And so, yeah, it's a very interesting problem to have that I think most of our listeners have, because I know I have an excessive amount of underwear, but you know, that's what we enjoy. So that's why we're on the podcast.
Yeah. I haven't quite figured out storage. I have like 2 drawers in my dresser, and I'm trying not to like go beyond that, but I'm definitely pushing the limits.
Yeah, I think several people have like entire dressers full of underwear, and I keep telling people, it's like, you should always buy and you worry about storage later. Mm-hmm. That's always the case. You should never not buy. Mm-hmm. If you have the money. Now, if you don't have the money, that's a different story, but if you have the money, just buy it.
If you're buying something like a box of like vintage Hanes briefs, they also come in like packs of 4 or 6. So it's you run out of storage, I feel like, a little bit quicker, because
yes,
there's a lot more bulk in that. So
that is true. That is very true. So that's something else I'll figure in on our show. I'm working on it now to put out sometime in the next probably 2 months. So stay tuned. I'm trying to find people with large collections to come on and share how they store. And I know a few people who fit that bill, so I'm working on others. So speaking of that, how many pairs do you think is in your collection?
I don't know. I feel like if I'm looking at like the ones that I have like in storage, I probably have maybe like 25 different varieties with like collections with like the different styles and waistbands. And then maybe I probably have like an extra few boxes that like for the extra pairs that I just have at like storage. Yeah, I almost feel like it's better not to know.
I think we have plenty of people in that boat as well. It's large enough and it keeps growing. We'll just put it that way.
But once you know, then it's a problem.
I don't think it's a problem even if you do know. It still just adds to your storage problem, not an underwear problem. That's what I say. I always encourage everyone to buy. So do you have any favorite pairs right now that you love or, you know, that you go to often and wear?
I don't know. I feel like, again, it's a lot of like the vintage Hanes ones. I feel like over the last year, I've been getting more into the tighty whities. I feel like I've always avoided those kind of growing up just because they've always been a kind of like a full cut or like a high rise kind of brief that never fit me correctly growing up. But like now that I'm an adult with an adult body, it actually like fits me correctly. So I've been kind of looking at those a bit more. Yeah, cool. Exploring those. Even like a certain trunk briefs that I've never worn because I've always been somewhat like anti boxer briefs for so long because I felt like those were what was like in fashion and it's not what I wanted to wear, but like certain things are like I've been exploring because I think I mentioned that pair that I bought from eBay that was like a Japanese Hanes brand, and that was like the first time I bought a boxer brief in my adulthood. So that was kind of like an interesting like foray into like a different type of cut. And then I think I also bought when Hanes had they had their total support pouch. So they explored with the different pouches. And at first they didn't have it in a brief and I wanted to try the pouch. So I bought it in a trunk. So I explored a bit more with that as well.
I think it's important to experiment with different things, especially when you're an underwear fan. I think there's a time and place for everything. Even I wear trunks and boxer briefs sometimes because I like the support if they have a good pouch. Other than that, they drive me crazy, but you know, there's some good stuff out there, especially when you look around and see. And I think was that the one you're talking about when Hanes came out with the commercial that had the boxer brief similar to the like Saks and what was the other brand with the sort of hammock pouch or something like that where
they call it their like total support pouch. I do think it might be like an interesting show to do like a comparison of all the different pouches that different brands have. Because I know like, I feel like when I was experimenting a lot more, I think Aussie Bum had their like Wonder Jock, which was like a flap that your kind of junk would go over. And then I think Andrew Christian had... I think they called it like the show it technology where it was like almost a pouch within a pouch. I feel like even just like comparing or showing what different brands have or call it might be interesting for people to be aware of.
That is actually a show I've been thinking about this weekend, actually, that you bring it up. I was thinking about, okay, pouches. Pouches are very important and we should go over what pouches are out there, what they do, because some guys like to show it, like that sort of thing. I am not one of them because it just drives me crazy all day. But, and you have the pouches without anything inside. So, yeah, it's one I'm thinking of, but it's going to take some research to go through and dig out and find guys who like pouches and, you know, on both sides of the fence so they can talk. So yeah, it's amazing what they're doing now with underwear, and Hanes really shocked me when they came out with that commercial, and I'm like, what? And the guy actually had a bulge in the commercial, and I'm just like, what? Y'all never show anything.
They're not always like the first to market, but I feel like you can look at them as a brand to kind of see where things are swaying. Whether it was like becoming more modest in like the early 2000s where everything was only in black and white or blues or stripes. And now that they're having more variety and cuts and patterns, you can kind of see where the market has been going.
That's true. That is very true with Hanes. I think they're more willing to take chances and you can look at what they're offering out there to see where, you know, most guys are going, and we're getting more and more wanting colors, wanting prints, wanting something amazing as opposed to, you know, just boring, plain underwear in black and white. They want something different, and I'm glad to see that. So as long as they're enjoying it, I'm all for it. Let me tell you. One good thing about underwear, you can wear what you want and no one really knows. Unless you want them to know. And then that's a whole different show. So what does your husband think of your underwear collection? Does he support it, understand it, kind of like, oh, that's his thing, or just like, I don't get it at all?
It's definitely not his thing, but I do think that he is supportive of it. I mean, he always like tells me that I think the first time he saw me in underwear, I was wearing a thong. So he was like, there's something interesting about this guy. Like, what is it? Because I don't think that that was something that he expected or like saw other people in.
Nice.
I feel like it caught his interest because of the underwear.
That's a good thing, though, because some guys' reaction to thongs are kind of like, what? Others are like, that's hot. But it's kind of good to get that he's intrigued and, you know, wanted to know more. So that's always good, especially when
I've
you first start.
Like a negative reaction towards it, like even when in my like single days, I've had people who are like wanting to like trade or asked if they could have it afterwards, and like, but that was, yeah, I've never had anybody like turned off by it.
Oh yeah, that was one of the questions Jay asked me in my interview, which will be out before this, about if I've ever taken underwear from somebody. But I was like, no, but I usually ask them for it. And I was like, most guys gave it. And it's like, can I have your underwear? So, yes. So I understand that fully, why people would want to keep a souvenir from that encounter. So, yes. Totally get that. But do any of their friends know about your underwear, or is it just your husband?
I think a couple close friends know. I think mainly just like from knowing them for so long, just like, I don't know, go on a trip. They see it, so, but it's not really like anything discussed. It's just like, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, around gay guys, it's usually like, eh, who cares? So yeah, good. So are there any times when you need to boost your confidence that you wear something or a particular pair, or is there any situations where you wear underwear to boost your confidence?
I feel like a lot of times it's more like feeling correct, or it's like, oh, what type of vibe am I trying to pull off? Or if I'm like, oh, I'm going to go work out, and I try to find like a sporty pair that is meant for performance. Or if I'm wearing like a suit, I'm like, what feels classy, or what is the vibe that I'm trying to go for? And then it feels like it just kind of like completes the feel, the look. And I feel like that does add to the confidence factor.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. I think underwear completes the look as well. Even though I need better fashion sense than what I have, but it does. It makes you feel better, especially when it's, you know, coordinated. I like to match things. And so that's a good way to look at it. Very cool. Well, that is all my questions for today. A, I am super impressed at your in-depth knowledge over Hanes and some other stuff. Wow. Blow me away.
I mean, I have like 25 years of like buying them. So
that is amazing, I will say. I was not expecting that today. So it's like, whoa. Love it. And I love your take that they're sort of the brand to look at the mainstream, which is very true. So I will say, if anybody wants to get in contact with him, just send me a message and I'll forward it to him. So if anyone out there wants to, you know, email me, I'll forward it. And as always, it's up to the guests to respond back. So I'm not there to push people to respond. It's like, I'm just the messenger. Thank you. Thank you for coming on today, Shane. Wow. Yeah. This was really good. I'm so glad you reached out and decided. If anybody else wants to reach out, I do have a form on the blog where you can go under podcast and be on the show. I think it's be on the show and fill out your information. And if you do that, send me an email or a DM, because I realized my form thing on the blog does not email me when people do it. And I thought it did. So I had like 4 people going back for like a month. So just be like, hey, I filled out the form, so I'll know good to go look. If I don't email you, I'm trying to check it at least once a week now. I'll remember once I'm in there and be like, oh, we got to check the form. So go over there. We'd love to have new people on and do fun shows like this. Thank you again, Shane, for coming on.
Yeah, no, it was enjoyable.
And we will have a new podcast for you soon, people. Bye, everybody.
Yep, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to our show. If you like what you hear, consider supporting us at Patreon at patreon.com/UNBblog. Follow us on social media. You can follow the blog at UNBblog on Twitter and Instagram. Read the blog at UNBblog.com. Also follow me if you like art or anything else fun in underwear at UNBTim on Instagram and also Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll have more podcasts at you very soon. Bye.